welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and thank you so much for joining me on the Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. My sweet co-host is still out right now. At the time of this recording, she's out on maternity leave with her sweet little love, Mia. And so y'all keep her in your prayers still as she's getting used to being a mommy of two itty-bitty girls, a two-year-old and a newborn now. And so she and Eric have their hands full. But we are so grateful for so many answered prayers by God answering with Eliana and Amelia. So, but I do have a special, I would say a new friend. And you're also, you work at AFA as well. Mr. Jeff Shambly is here today. And so, I'm glad to have you on.
Good to be with you.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. The way you got on was I was on your program.
Which airs, I think, just before this program. So we're kind of swapping programs here.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. After the show, I think that we recorded, you just slightly mentioned, you're like, my wife and I have experienced loss, walked through miscarriages years ago. And then all of a sudden I was like, hey, Mr. Jeff.
I was actually interviewing you and Kendra on Hannah's Heart.
Yes.
And because in the Stand magazine in January and February, we're featuring Hannah's Heart and the issues that you cover. And I had mentioned that to you. So anyway, thanks for the invitation.
I'm glad so glad that you're here. So glad. Yep. So I had you on. Yeah, you were telling us, we're not going to get to that super cool story that you ended up telling us.
Okay.
We'll save that for later. But yeah, you were mentioning that you and your wife had walked through miscarriages, but it's been a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So do you mind just starting out with you and your wife meeting, marriage, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, when I go back to the beginning, I met my wife as a music student at Delta State University, fell in love with her. We got married very young, had a baby right off the bat, and so we were parents in our early 20s. And so we have a total, now we have seven children, but at the time, you know, we had two little girls at Delta State.
While y'all were still in college.
Okay. Yeah, getting the, you know, finishing the bachelor's and the master's degree.
Wow, Anita
got her master's.
Y'all.
And we were music majors. And so, you know, Anita was great with child when she was conducting a little, an orchestra for her project in the master's degree.
Had a little baby belly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Doing
Yeah, so that was how we started, and Lord called me into full-time music ministry about 1985, 1986, and then we went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. I took our two girls there, graduated from seminary, went to serve a church in South Georgia, a little town called Hazelhurst, Georgia, which is just south of Vidalia, where you get your onions. So down south Georgia. So we were there for a year, and we had our son, Jordan.
Okay.
So Jordan is a Georgian.
Georgian.
Yeah. So he was born in a little town in a little hospital that didn't have any anesthesiologist.
Wow.
That delivery is a story in itself. That was a tough delivery.
I bet it was.
That was a very, very tough delivery. And she didn't have any relief from pain.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of women, if they were to hear that, they'd be like, I'm just not going to go there.
Yeah, you know, they use instruments to help extract a baby.
Okay.
And so when Jordan wasn't progressing, he said, well, I can try this. And they tried it for about 5 seconds. And she says, there's no way. No.
Oh, my.
And so the Lord gave her grace. And Jordan was born, big boy.
Well,
he was our first boy.
Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. So we moved back to Mississippi, served a church in Greenwood, Mississippi. And there we had our son, Aaron.
Okay.
And the Lord called me to AFA back in 1998. And so here in Tupelo, we had Kaylin and Jackson and Cademan.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot of kids these days. Like,
it was a lot in those days. It was a lot in those days. But yeah, it's a lot. We had, you know, the Lord had convicted us, I think, early on that we wanted to have a large family.
Okay.
You know, the idea that children are a blessing was not a foreign concept to us. We just simply believed the word. In our years of marriage, I think there were times where we trusted the Lord more than others with the size of the family. So I can't say, well, you know, it was a complete walk of faith. But, you know, the Lord dealt with us according to our maturity and where we understood the scriptures and was very gracious to us. In the process of those children, in 2001 and 2002, there was a series of three miscarriages.
Wow.
So we had Lauren and Devin, Jordan, Aaron, and Kaylin already.
Okay.
And so Anita was 36 years old when she had these miscarriages. And the first one was in 2001, June of 2001. The second one was in November of 2001. Mm. And the third one was in September of 2002. That was what I would consider a severe one, as she had extensive blood loss and had to be in the hospital. And we can talk about some of those details. But that was very, very difficult physically for her to recover. And but after that, praise God, the Lord allowed us to have Jackson and Cademan.
Wow.
So it's a little bit unusual. You know, our story, and I was talking with my wife, you know, telling her I was going to be on the program. She says, well, you know, it's not like we weren't without children.
Right, right.
And so these miscarriages, you know, it affects you a little differently, you know, because we had five. And so I think it's just a little different than it would have been if we had had no children early on.
Yeah, to know, because if you didn't have children or when you don't have children, we had three before we ever had, before we ever adopted and then had Jane. But yeah, you still wonder, like, is this just what it is for me? Am I not going to have babies, you know? And so I'm sure that is a different, it was at my last miscarriage. Was almost, well, I guess it was 2 years ago now. But yeah, it is a different feeling when you do have children, but you still do mourn that.
Oh, my, yes, absolutely.
The life that, you know, it was Thanksgiving week of, 22 that I had my last miscarriage. And yeah, Thanksgiving week this year, it was like, I wonder who that baby would have been, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
But were y'all thinking like, okay, well, this might be like God saying like you're done having children?
We didn't know. And I think that's one of the big questions. You know, you get there and people on the outside would say, well, you know, you have five children.
Yeah, yeah. That's just people that
some would say, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
The others would say, well, you know, maybe this is a sign.
Mm.
And I think the temptation, had we given into that and said, well, this must be a sign, we would never have had Jackson and Cademan.
Yeah,
and I cannot imagine. I mean, Jackson's a big, strapping 20-year-old young man, you know. Both of them walking with the Lord. Cademan is 16 in the praise band at church. I love those boys. And I cannot imagine not having them in the family. So I don't think you can look at those situations and say, well, this is a sign.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the Lord is doing. You just don't know. And so, you know, I think we continue to walk by faith, and God blessed.
Wow. Yeah. How far along was your wife during those losses, do you know?
You know, the first one in 2001, I don't think that she was very far along. We talked about that early this morning. I'm not sure if there was a heartbeat there. I think she was convinced that there was a baby.
Mm.
And I may be mistaken. This is where I wish my wife were here. I know for the second and third, there was a heartbeat and there were confirmed pregnancies.
Mm.
So the first, I'm not positive.
Well, so even if there were not my first two miscarriages, they're called chemical pregnancies if there is no confirmed heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's a weird feeling as well, because it was a baby, and they did say you're experiencing a miscarriage, but it was too early to ever hear the heartbeat.
Yep.
So it's a weird experience as a woman to know, like, as soon as you are losing the baby. You just found out you were also pregnant, you know, mm-hmm. and so, but you're no longer pregnant because the baby's now, you know, so it's so many weird emotions.
Right. And we would not have had the second and third miscarriages, the second one for sure, if the first one had gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she pointed that out to me that there were three because the first one didn't, you know, didn't survive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's something to think about too. Yeah. As a man, as a husband, how do you feel like you handled those losses? Do you remember handling them differently?
You know, because they were confirmed pregnancies, there was a real sense of loss. I mean, more than I expected, you know, when, and especially after the third one, that was so severe on her body.
Yeah.
She passed out and she, you know, she was having some stomach issues and up in the middle of the night. And so she called out one time from the restroom and I walked in there and she, you know, eyes rolling back and she just literally passed out. It scared me to death. And so I took her later on the floor and called out to my daughters. Now, so we had an 18-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter in the house at the time.
Wow.
So I was able to call them and said, call an ambulance, you know, and then she got her strength back and woke up. But she had lost so much blood that she became unconscious. And then that happened two or three more times in the hospital.
Goodness gracious.
When she would sit up on the side of the bed and just simply go limp and just go to the floor. Mm. So, you know, that to me, when you say, how did you handle it? That stood out as a shocking experience to me. I'm not a medical person.
Sure.
And so I'm not around people that just pass out.
Right.
You know, and so that jolted me a little bit. And after the DNC that they had to do after the third one, you know, we began talking about the issues of, okay, could we have done anything here? I don't know that we discussed that in the first two, but in the third one, we really did ask the question, what did we do wrong? But one trip, you know, she was on a trip out of town. We were taking a vacation when the pain started and the cramping and so forth. And so the thought comes in your mind, did she just exert herself too much?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you're thinking, so all of these things going through your mind. And thankfully, we had a great OB, a believer, you know, who understood that we wanted to have a large family. He said, look, when your body begins to do those things, you cannot do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that actually brought a lot of relief to me.
Yes, same.
A tremendous amount of relief knowing that, look, all of this is in God's hands.
Yeah.
More than you think. Yeah. And so at that point, you begin to say, okay, I accept that.
Yeah.
You know, you can no longer look to yourself and say, what did we do wrong? Could we have done something better? No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that God taught me through this was that, you know, we had five children. And so there was kind of an attitude in my mind, you know, as a young man that, hey, we could have children. I could snap my fingers and we could have a child. I mean, there's this attitude that, hey, getting pregnant, having a child is just no problem.
Yeah.
And so I never would say that out loud to people.
Sure, sure.
But I certainly couldn't understand someone who couldn't.
Yeah.
And so at this point, at that instant, I would say, after that third miscarriage, the Lord showed me, I am the one who brings babies into the world.
Mm.
And so at that point, you know, I began, you know, people would say, well, you know, when you're a young couple and you're having your third child and someone went wink, wink, you know, what causes that?
You
know, my response my response changed after that.
Okay.
Yeah, I know who causes this. God causes this.
Wow.
Man does not cause this. And one of the things that our OB said was, he said that the miracle is that conception actually takes place and that a baby is born.
Yeah.
I mean, the real miracle is with all of the multitude of things that could go wrong in the development of an embryo, the real miracle is that nothing goes wrong.
Wow.
And so that, again, that helped me.
Yeah.
But the Lord graciously taught me a lesson, I think, that he is the one that brings life and that he doesn't share that credit or that glory with anybody.
So. I love that. That's so good, because I do think, I know we have walked through infertility and miscarriage and all that, but but to be reminded, like, no, the God of the universe, what he says is, you know?
Right.
And so, and it doesn't matter. And there is such, I don't know if the word is, the right word is freedom, but that is, I remember feeling the weight of just like, my body is not doing what supposedly God made my body to do. But then, yes, asking those hard questions and being like, what am I, is it something I'm eating? Is it something I'm running? Is it, should I not walk? You know, just so many crazy, bizarre thoughts come into your mind. And we know that's from the enemy.
Right.
But then, yes, to have the doctor, to a medical personnel say like, no, no.
That helped.
Yes, yeah, that is whenever the doctor told me that, and it was like I could fully accept, okay, this is not my fault, and to know that then, like, it's not me causing this to happen, like, this is in God's plan. I don't know why, but this is in God's plan. I'm not, like, messing life up,
right?
You know, to keep his plan from happening, you know, like, God knows what's going on. And so, yeah, that was something that I experienced freedom with. Okay, so you've quoted us dates and stuff like that. So we know this happened, you said 2001, 2002.
2001, yeah.
So that's been a while. So now you have basically all grown kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have a teenager.
I've got one teenager left.
Okay. That's doing a lot of living, you know? but you told us a very special story after your show. You just slightly mentioned, you're like, you know, I did this for my wife, da-da-da-da. And so I would love, because we talk about how men and women handle these things differently. I'm sure if Miss Anita was here, she would have her own, you know, series of events and stories that, you know, would... Not that they would line up differently, but just she experienced them in different ways.
Yeah.
And I know that me and Will tell the stories differently, you know. The same factual information, but the way that we handled each event. But for you to, obviously these are your babies as well that are now in heaven. Mm-hmm. And for you to still acknowledge them as your babies all these years later. What special gift did you give your wife for y'all's 40th?
Yeah, I think, you know, and some background, we always have considered these three as our children.
Mm.
Now, we didn't give them names because we didn't know if they were boys or girls.
Yeah.
We didn't give, obviously, dates that they would be born. Now, Anita would tell you, I feel like there are gaps, that there's somebody missing.
Mm.
She would say that. So we have always tried to and tell the kids, you know, and someone say, well, how many children do you have? Well, I say, I have 10, seven with us. And when I'm praying, Lord, thank you for these that you've given me in this world.
Mm.
So I acknowledge that there are three. So in our 40th anniversary, you know, since we've had children since the very beginning, the number of times we've actually taken a trip together, I could count on one hand.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So for our 40th anniversary, you know, she had mentioned wanting to go to Mackinac Island.
Okay.
So this is off the coast of the peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
And it looks like Mackinac, but it's pronounced Mackinac, and I would highly recommend anybody going there. It's a beautiful island that's just gorgeous. No cars allowed.
Wow.
Only horses and carriages and bicycles.
Oh, my goodness.
And
okay.
So you have all of these Victorian mansions, you know, the Astors
that.
And the Rockefellers built mansions there back in the late 1800s.
Okay.
And so we went there. First trip, to my knowledge, we've ever taken on a plane without a child.
Okay.
And so it was really weird because we thought, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? No agenda.
Can do whatever.
No agenda. So anyway, in preparation for this, and this was before our anniversary in September. This is in July.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to do something special for her. So I went down to the local jewelry store and I told the lady, I said, I'd like to have an anniversary ring with 10 diamonds in it, one for each of the children. And so she showed me the one in the book, and man, it looked exactly like I had imagined.
Aww.
And so I got that. And my wife does not have, those are the first diamonds that I've ever given my wife. Wow. We just have never, you know, she doesn't wear a lot of jewelry,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
she's very practical lady.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this is something a little special. So, but I wanted to give it to her on Mackinac Island. And so I knew we had to go through TSA and I didn't want to put the ring into a suitcase and put it under the plane.
Right.
I didn't want to check it and have it leave my sight going through the belt.
Yeah.
Having TSA check it. So I had it in my pocket
uh-huh.
the whole time. And going through there, I thought, well, they're going to make me empty my pocket. So I've got to do something with this ring. So while she went to the restroom, we were prepared to go through security, I put the ring on my finger and turned the stones upside down.
That was
so that
very
they wouldn't
smart.
It's a little like a wedding band.
Yeah.
And so I went through, you know, did the through the little radar thing, the machine you go through, and out the other side, pulled out the box really quick, put it back in the box where it belonged.
Man,
so I was
everything.
Paranoid that I would something would happen to it. And so the only diamonds we have. So anyway,
that's
we got
really
up
special.
There, and so we went for a walk, and Lafayette Park, I believe, up there at Mackinac Island. It's a French trading colony. It
okay.
was years and years ago.
Yeah.
And so we sat in the park, and I gave her that for our anniversary. So
that's so yeah. sweet. Well, also, this is so inspiring, I guess, to think my husband and I will be married only 10 years this next year. And so to think about being 40 years in and to still want to get your wife a beautiful ring, you know,
yeah.
I just feel like that speaks to how sweet marriage can be, you know. And unfortunately, I feel like a lot of people my age, we don't see that a whole lot. I mean, really, like so many of my friends' parents have been divorced and, you know, and my family, we're walking through some separation right now. Not Will and I, but
yeah.
people in my family. And so it's really sad. And I think that's what the enemy loves is to split up. You know, you start out with the marriage, right? And so I love to hear you want to get your wife that ring. The desire to even want to do that is so sweet to me. But then getting back on our topic, but to include 10 diamonds instead of the 7, because you have 7 children here on earth, right?
Yeah.
And 3 in heaven. I think a lot of people would have thought by now, like, okay, those were miscarriages. You didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl so many years ago. But still to acknowledge that those were lives that were lost a long time ago.
Yeah. Anonymity has always bothered me.
Mm.
That they are not known.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't forget them.
No.
God knows who they are.
That's right.
And so, you know, we were able to talk with our kids about them. And so our 18-year-old girl and 14-year-old girl knew all about what miscarriages were. And even our sons did. So it was something we talked about openly. But, you know, we can't ever look at a miscarriage and say, well, that's just something other than a human being with a unique personality. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, that's
so good. They have unique personalities. They're known by God. They have a name.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we just can't forget them.
No, I love that. That's awesome. And I'm right there with you. As a grandparent, we don't have much time left. But as a grandparent, we have grandparents now that would have more grandchildren, more than likely, you know. Do y'all notice that? You said your wife can still feel someone's missing sometimes.
Yeah, she feels like there's a gap in our children, but now, Anne, we have 19 grandchildren.
You have 19
so,
grandchildren.
You know, is someone missing? Well, you know, we may not notice that. I hadn't thought of that until you asked me the question.
Okay.
That's not something that had come to mind. More of that gap in our immediate family, yeah,
okay.
definitely.
Okay. No, that makes
and,
sense.
And in my mind, they are no more developed than they were as children.
Gotcha.
I can't see them as grown people. I see them as children.
Yeah. The same with our baby who passed away. I think I call him my forever baby boy. I see one-year-olds now and think, well, he would be around that age. But I do, I don't know if you would say, I hope in heaven he stays a baby because I want to get
sure.
to hold him as a baby.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But yeah, that's what I think about too. Okay, so for men that could possibly be listening that are potentially walking through miscarriage with their wife right now, is there anything that you could possibly tell them?
Well, I think, you know, something that we talked about the other day, that this is not a problem you can fix. You know, you can't solve the issue, men. There's a real loss that has to be experienced. There's mourning that has to happen. That's part of what God's intention is. He wants us to look to Him in desperation and to receive those unknown things that require trust and faith.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what He wants for His children. He doesn't give us answers, but He does give us His presence. He gives us His promises. He gives us the assurance of the resurrection and the joy of heaven that's to come. Now, on this side of the world, I think as your wife is going through that, there are physical things that she needs to help with. And sometimes for me, one of the greatest blessings I could give my wife is washing the dishes.
Wow.
You know, just clean the dishes. Make sure the pillows on the couch are back in
order. I love that.
Well, I mean, they're very practical things. Get your laundry off the table. Put it away in a drawer, not on top of the dresser. You know, those simple things, at least from my wife.
I think you're speaking any woman's language.
You know,
right
it's
now.
It's like you tell me you love me. Now, please show me.
Yeah.
This is how you can show me.
Simple acts.
Simple acts. Yeah.
Of love.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Jeff. I feel like I've learned something from you today, and so I know this episode will be helpful. But I really appreciate you coming in on the show. For you guys that are listening, thank you for coming on today to hear this story, and we will see you back next week.